Tom Watkins. He has been a participant, observer of U.S. Political scene for decades, is working to build educational and economic and cultural ties to China. Tom, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Tony. It's a great morning when Coach Izzo has 400 games under his belt in the win column and the president's in town.
Indeed it is. Well, let's talk about a couple of things. First of all, will the president's visit to Ann Arbor impact Michigan, not only from a voter standpoint, but in support for education?
Well, anytime the president's in town, you've got a big magnifying glass. So what we're going to have is not only statewide, national, and international attention to the importance, the value of education. There's nothing more important moving forward than assuring that all of our children are able to get the education they need and deserve to be competitive on the world stage.
And I wanted to get your take on the proposed Lansing Casino, which is said to, if all things work out correctly, could gather millions of dollars for a college scholarship plan that would send kids to community college. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, I commend Mayor Granero for being aggressive and trying to find ways to jumpstart the economy, put people back to work, and he's tying the resources that would come from casino, because obviously there's always a little bit of hesitation when you're talking about bringing in more gaming. But he's smart politically to tie the investment back to educating the young people in the city of Lansing and the surrounding areas. That is absolutely a positive investment if, in fact, this project moves forward.
You recently wrote a piece I found very interesting. Remember how Governor Granholm painted Dick DeVos red with her 2006 Ship Jobs to China campaign rhetoric? Talk about that story.
Well, I mean, what we're talking about here is you're watching kind of from the left and the right on the presidential campaign. Presidential candidate Romney has been saber-rattling against China. And we kept to harken back to the old Speaker of the House, Tip O'Neill, who said that all politics is local. You know, saber-rattling with China makes for good domestic politics, but in the long run, it will do very little to address the needs of American workers. And Napoleon said centuries ago, let China sleep, for when she wakes, she'll shake the world. And we've watched presidents and their opponents since 1950 have talked tough on China, but after the campaign season's over, pragmatism comes back around. And so you're going to continue to see this. But what the president, President Obama, has done, I think, is very positive. He's offering tax policies that would encourage manufacturers to return jobs from China here to the United States. And anytime you can use financial incentive, tax policy in order to steal domestic, create domestic jobs, that could be both good policy as well as good politics.
You write that former Governor Romney has been warning of the China boogeyman for months. He's vowed to tar China as a currency manipulator. That's a big, big deal. Is that? It sounds like that's a forgivable deal from your perspective.
Well, look, we have to be very, very careful. The last thing that the American worker needs is a trade war with China. The consumer would lose because cost of goods would go up, and we need China. Let's be honest. We need China to deal with North Korea. We need their help with dealing with a nuclear Iran. We need their help with dealing with this fragile world economy, perhaps assisting the European Union stay solvent. We are like a big bowl of spaghetti today with globalization, where we're all tied together. The fact is that the China and the United States are in the same bed, but as someone said, we certainly don't share the same dreams.
Well, the way the media and politicians make it sound is we're the second-class citizen. They hold all the cards because they have all our debt. They've got more people. They have arsenal that they are building on while we're cutting back on our military strength. one would think that we're the, you know, the middle kid.
Well, let's be honest. China is both the largest foreign holder of the U.S. debt. We owe them something north of $1 trillion. But they're also the second largest trading partner, only behind our good neighbor Canada. And so we need to find ways to have a nuanced balance. Look, it certainly makes sense on a political campaign to point to somebody afar that they're the problems that we're experiencing these difficulties here at home. Again, I think what President Obama did is, rather than point the finger just over there, he's taken the ball into his own hands, controlling our own destiny, and laying out some tax policies that may be instrumental to creating job growth here. It's also been pointed out, as China economy improves and workers' demands go up, we're beginning to see a little closer of a leveling of the playing field between what Chinese workers make and some U.S. workers make, and there's many that think that's going to bode well to see some jobs return to the United States. Be clear, we need to work with China, finding cooperative ways to address the world problems.
Do you think, Tom, that they want to be cooperative? From the folks that we've talked to on this program in the last couple of years, you get the indication that they want to be the global leader, and they really have no interest in partnering with us.
Well, clearly that they do, because there's a number of areas where we have to, you know, a lot of those cheap goods are sold here. Most of us that opened up presents under a Christmas tree just less than a month ago did so to a lot of goods made in China. So if they're going to make cheap goods and ship them around the world, they have to have somewhere to ship them to. The European Union is their largest trading partner, and that is down significantly. The China's economy is slowing, and there's clearly been a trade-off within China over the last 30 years between the Chinese leaders that are letting the Chinese workers become rich. Over 400 million people have risen up out of abject poverty over the last 30 years in China into their equivalent of the working and middle class because of this growth. And a lot of that has been because of the trading relationships with the U.S. and other countries around the world. So there's a clear connection between the two, but there's going to be lots of tension. You know, next month, on February 14th, we elect our presidents. In China, they select theirs. President Xi, it's spelled X-I, but pronounced like Xi, will be coming to the United States, and we'll begin to get a closer look at China's new leadership and what our relationship will hold moving deeper into the second decade of the 21st century.
Thanks so much, Tom. Enjoy your weekend.
It's always good to be with you, Tony. Thank you.